from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
In the Loop, Brandon Scott here with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, as we go around the NFL. And I hadn't realized that Lamar Jackson was not participating in the Ravens camp so far. Apparently, he's been sick. He went back, it looks like yesterday, but only lasted an hour where he had to go back inside. Apparently, he was still sick. He was noticeably not himself based on the reporting out there. So Lamar Jackson right now, I wonder, this could have gone in cap or no cap. Is he really sick, or is he pulling that whole veteran, two-time MVP, not really wanting to do training camp? This way, I know I'm putting that out there. It would be a bad look if a quarterback was doing that, though. But it's interesting to me that they're having to get this season started without their main guy out there, without Lamar Jackson on the field.
COVID. No. well, who knows at this point? But
yeah, could be.
They're saying stomach virus. Yeah, he's sick. I mean, it's no cap, especially when he did try to come out and then had to go back in. Clearly, you know, he's just not himself. But nah, man. I mean, he would not. I mean, he's been paid. He's got everything going for him. MVP, all that stuff. So absolutely, that this would be something that is legit.
So Aaron Rodgers at Jets training camp apparently acknowledged, or for the first time on the record, I guess, talked about his unexcused absence, had that trip to Egypt. We remember this. We talked about this when it happened. Had that trip to Egypt, but it was not an unexcused absence. Mm-hmm. And you get fined for those. Okay. He missed a mandatory practice session, whatever it was. And that is a $50,000 fine. They did fine him the $50,000. I'm not sure how it works now in the CBA, if the fines are not, like, you can't forgive him anymore, exactly how it works. But they did fine him. He addressed that and talked about this. What do you think of Aaron Rodgers just kind of shoulder shrugging and just saying, yeah, I'll take the fine? He claims that everything is cool. Like, he's not mad about it. Him and the coach are great. And it's just an understanding. Like, this was basically him saying, yeah, I'm going to take this trip and I'll forfeit the $50,000. The man is rich as hell, so I guess it's cool.
Well, his claim and his explanation is no surprise. He's Aaron Rodgers, different kind of dude, all that. What do I think of it? I think everyone looks bad in that organization on how they handled this. I think the general manager and the head coach look weak for just allowing it to happen, basically giving him the team, which I guess shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And then Aaron Rodgers, you know, part of his explanation was, well, I've been fascinated with, it wasn't like this thing that he had to be at. You know, he said the part of his, the reason for the trip is he's been fascinated about Egypt since he was in high school or something, and just always wanted to go, and he got to ride a camel and experience. Dude, that's a vacation. I mean, it's a vacation. You can do that at any point in the offseason. Like, everyone looks bad.
It's not like dude was going to go watch his wife
perform
in the Olympics. All right? It's not like dude is married to Simone Biles, mm-hmm. and it's the one of the greatest, if not the most decorated Olympian of all time, certainly our lifetime. And I'm going to skip. And I'm a safety.
Yeah.
And I'm going to skip out. You're the quarterback of a team that's trying to bounce back from a year that was disappointing because you weren't able to stay healthy past three or four plays.
Yeah.
And
this is what you do.
I just wanted to go to Egypt.
I'm going to go on another vacation.
I just wanted to go to Egypt.
Add another one.
It was something that I was always curious about.
And the Jets don't look any better.
Yeah, because
they don't look any better.
I mean, he's just running all over them.
Yeah, walking
like,
all over them.
Who has, like, does anybody have a pair over there?
Yeah.
Like, I'm asking seriously. Who's got a pair and who's willing to, like, actually speak with some bass in their voice for a change? Like, when is it going to happen? Like, Aaron Rodgers is just over there running things. And this part of it, like, I don't really care, but this part of it is just silly.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely silly.
Trent Williams, San Francisco 49ers, tackle. Holding out, which I find funny because the entire offseason with the 49ers at least has been about Brandon Ayuk and his contract situation. Mm-hmm. He is holding in, which we talked about on the show. He reported to training camp. He's holding in Trent Williams, fair to say, much more of a badass than most. Not just Brandon Ayuk.
He's a crazy man.
But than most people on the planet. Okay,
in a good way.
He holding out.
Yeah.
And I dare you to go tell him otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's crazy, man.
Who gonna check him? You gonna do it? Hey, y'all want to go check? Anyone of y'all want to go check Trent Williams?
I'm good. Hey, what the hell are you doing, Trent?
Nah.
Poke him in the chest with your forefinger.
Listen here, buddy.
I'm good on that.
Just poke him in the chest with your forefinger.
Man,
let me have a couple words with you.
Hey, poke him in the chest and just hope he doesn't notice.
He doesn't feel it.
Yeah, man. If he feels it, oh my god,
he is. He's more important to them than Brandon Ayuk.
Gotta agree.
Yeah.
Gotta agree. I can't disagree. I feel like I'm in the rare camp of, hey, you know what? I would go ahead and pay Brandon Ayuk because I just think that they have a lot of rare players and he's one of them, but he is the least rare of the rare ones, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and harder to find.
Christian McCaffrey, one of those. Deebo Samuel, one of those. George Kittle, pretty damn rare.
Yeah.
And maybe not one of those, but certainly the best at being one of those.
Yeah.
And then Trent Williams, honestly.
Yeah.
I think there's only one of those.
Yeah. It's very hard to find one of those dudes.
Don't know too many dudes that are scarier than that.
And E36, by the way.
Man, listen.
It doesn't matter.
Age. I usually look at age. Age ain't nothing but the number when it comes to him.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it feel like he might be getting stronger. The older he gets, more concerned.
Old man strength.
And dude has always just had that willingness.
Yeah.
And if you know about what I mean by willingness, I mean the willingness to kick your ass.
We don't need to turn this into a Trent Williams segment, but all you need to know about him is when he messes with people, and there's videos all over of like during games, like he punched some dude in the face after a play. He pushed some dude from the back. There's a lot of videos of Trent Williams just being a badass. Nobody ever responds. They just like, all right, hey ref, look what he did. Like they don't go back at him. They're like,
what would you do?
I'd run. I'd cry.
Yeah,
I'd
like, you got it, OG.
Yeah, I'd cry. Oh,
man. You got it, bit bro.
Nah, I'll be like,
I will bit bro you. You got it, bit bro.
That's right.
I'd let them know as soon as we come in contact. Like, if we're going to be in the same place at the same time, I need you to know ahead of time, Mr. Williams.
Yes.
Our conflict resolution is going to be through words.
You got it. You got it, bit homie.
If I do anything to offend you or make you upset,
I apologize in advance.
Can you just say so and we'll have a discussion?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do anything else. Not at all.
NFL players do nothing.
Yeah.
When he comes at them.
Kirk Cousins, Falcons quarterback. They got a couple of quarterbacks. It's a weird thing that they're doing over there. But he has been cleared to practice after his torn Achilles. We probably talked about this around the draft. What do y'all think of the Falcons quarterback situation between having Kirk Cousins with barely an Achilles, half an Achilles, and the old off-injured or used to be off-injured quarterback that they drafted high in Michael Penix Jr.? Like, do they have two quarterbacks or do they have none? What do you think?
I think, first of all, it's an absolute – it's a travesty. It's a football travesty what they did and what they have. And it's never going to go away all year long. It's going to affect the season. And so, yeah, they got two quarterbacks because you don't draft a guy that high. I mean, that's still one of the weirdest things we've ever seen in a draft. Like, you just pay this dude that much money? And you draft, what was it, 9, 7, something like that?
Yeah, it was up there, eight or nine, yeah.
It's always so funny looking at that moment, too, because the commentators were sitting there, oh, yeah, they could probably go receiver or offensive line. Nobody brung a quarterback at all.
Well, they were talking with sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the commentators, like, we do this.
Ain't no way they're drafting a quarterback.
And this a lot of times they're wrong, and then they could kind of make up, like, oh, yeah, well, this do make sense.
But even when
they were
wrong,
just like, I have no idea what they're doing. Yeah.
Even when you're wrong, your opinion is educated. It's based off of something that is real and that does exist, and then you give your opinion.
They always put the little knees up in the corner.
Exactly.
The quarterback was not a knee.
I'll say this, though, and I've thought this all along, going back to the moment that they did this. Drafting Michael Penix wasn't the weird part. It was the Kirk Cousins signing to begin with. Like, it was the only reason why it was weird that they did this is because they had already given all of that money to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
But if you were to ask me, hey, which one of these would you have rather done?
Mm-hmm.
It would be punt on the Kirk Cousins thing. Hey, man, I'm sorry. You're going to have to find somewhere else to take that toe up Achilles for $100+ million or whatever it is. You know, he always gets guaranteed deals.
Yeah.
He's probably got the best agent of all time, whoever that is. Look, man, I'd be good on the Kirk Cousins. Let me draft one of these guys. And I like Michael Penix. So I was actually good with the draft move that they made. It made it all the more curious of why did you throw all of that damn money at Kirk Cousins?
And even Kirk Cousins was like, we did not see this coming.
No.
Rightfully so. From his perspective, rightfully so.
I think the weirdest part is what you said, but I think a tie with that is, okay, you're drafting his successor. You're drafting a 24-year-old successor. Yeah. Michael Penix Jr. is older than Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
Like, so let's say Kirk Cousins plays 3 years of that contract. You're going to turn to Michael Penix when he's 27? 28? That was the weird part to me.
And I would almost be fine with that if...
Not that old. 27, you're turning?
He got to play right away.
Yeah.
At that point. Or at least next year.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say I'd be fine with it had they just said, hey, we're going to start with this guy immediately.
Yeah.
If they had, say they had... they signed Tyrod Taylor or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's understandable.
Yeah.
But this way,
$180 million, something like that.
It's ridiculous.
So you're gonna have to play him at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. It's a 4-year deal. And Michael Penix, you're drafting the future, who's gonna be like older than half the quarterbacks in the league when he finally gets the job.
Do you think maybe they? You said he's older than Kenyon Green.
Yeah,
he's only a couple of months younger than Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. He's older than Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
He is 2 months older than Brevin Jordan, who is entering his fourth year.
And he's the future.
Entering his fourth year in the league.
Yeah, and he's the future. To me, that's just as dumb as the deal they did.
I think that part of it, Lopez, is maybe they are... It's possible that people around the NFL, as we go around the NFL here on In the Loop, are giving too much credence to watching quarterbacks play and athletes, period, play into their later years.
Yeah.
And I might have even done this, too, of like, hey, okay, 27, that's not that old if he's going to play until he's 36, 37. If you can get 8 to 9 years of a guy, then it's not that bad. And you're anticipating that he is going to be as ready as you possibly can
be. That's the exception, not the rule.
When he gets there, I wouldn't want to rely on that, especially a guy who has had as an extensive of an injury history as Michael Penix has had.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing to me. This was unfortunate to me around the NFL. I saw that Vikings cornerback Mekhi Blackmon tore his ACL on the first day of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings have had some really, really bad luck. And they're on the Texans schedule this year. And also have some former Texans on the squad now. We got Jonathan Greenard, Blake Cashman, Shaq Griffin is over there. But this guy tears his ACL on the first day of training camp. They also had that sad story a couple of weeks ago of the rookie that they drafted who passed away. Mm-hmm. And that guy, he's a fourth round pick. He's a later round pick, but somebody that they wanted to really contribute and compete for them.
Yeah.
And now, so obviously they lose one in a tragic way. It loses his life. Then they lose another one to an ACL on the first day of training camp. To kind of localize this, I just want to say, knock on wood, I'm really glad that we haven't had to deal with a story like that. Like, we have these, oh, where's Joe Mixon? You know, why is he only practiced twice?
Yeah, that'd be all
right. Oh, Christian Harris has a soft tissue injury. We want to see him out there. Yeah. Oh, John Metchie can't really afford to miss that many days because, you know, it's a roster bubble situation. You know, where's he going to fit in the wide receiver hierarchy and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had nothing like this to deal with. Knock on wood, the Texans don't deal with this. But this is one of those where you look at, oh, you know what? I see why some guys don't.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, I don't want to work. I don't want to be out there in the heat for training camp. I don't want to tear my ACL on the first day of practice.
Yeah, no, look, it's the biggest worry in all 32 camps right now. That flukish sort of devastating injury that happens, like, for no apparent reason, just because during training camp, you know, when they're not even hitting or something. No, it's absolutely the biggest worry.
What is the deal with this dude's smoke detector?
Oh, my God.
You brought this up earlier. 49ers cornerback Lenore has been sleeping for the past year with his smoke detector going off. I want to know what y'all think about this.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck. So I just let it go. Like, I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious. Like,
are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
And you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
You can hear it.
Yes.
And you don't even hear that?
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
And it's because you're superstitious.
Superstitious.
Dude, do you know?
No.
I would gouge out.
I'm calling Cap. On the part,
oh, really?
Oh, on the part about it being because he's superstitious. I'm not saying that he's not superstitious. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he doesn't actually believe that there's some kind of good luck charm associated with this. Maybe he's telling the truth about that. But I'm calling Cap on that being the reason why he hasn't changed that smoke detector. He hasn't changed that smoke detector beeping like that, annoying as hell, for the same reason as most people who don't change their smoke detectors. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's just downright all out laziness. My man is lazy and ain't got to it. That's all it is. Anybody that you, when you go to their house and they haven't changed their smoke detector and it's been like that for more than
a year,
I would say for longer than a week. If you're able to last with that longer than a week, your ass is just lazy.
Dude,
go ahead and admit it.
I don't care if it's cap, no cap. I don't care if it's laziness, not laziness. I would gouge out my own eyes.
You couldn't do that?
Oh, my God. That is one of the biggest triggers for me, especially when it goes off at night. You're in bed, and it goes out. I literally get up and fix it right there or change it, and I've been known to get a broom handle and knock the hell out of it just to shut it up. I mean, that a smoke detector for a year, and you're sleeping in that house?
That would drive me nuts.
Nuts.
So I could probably blast with it.
No way.
Maybe a couple of days.
I can't go 2 hours.
I could go at the most a couple of days. But I'm going to admit to you, I just said how that was kept. I will admit to you the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
There is a laziness or more of a procrastination.
And we all can do that.
Because I'm not really lazy. I'm kind of a procrastinator. I'm like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I do have that in me. But eventually, we're going to get that done. And I mean, aside from the fact of, you know, the whole safety element of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a smoke detector.
Well, there is that.
For a reason.
But that's not why I do it. It drives me insane.
But between all of it, like, there's so many different reasons for you not to allow that to be the case for a year.
Like, you know how they say, how long could you do this? How long could you do that? I could live on an island by myself for probably a year and be okay. I'll figure it out. I couldn't last 2 days in a house with a smoke detector going off. I'm being completely honest.
It is weird.
Yeah.
And to be like, oh, it's my good luck charm. What?
Find another one.
Like, get your lazy ass out there.
Find another one.
And change
one.
The battery.
Yes.
Man, she should have quizzed him on what else is he superstitious about.
Yeah.
Because like I said, he might be. But I want to, okay, so what else do you do that's superstitious? Is this the only thing?
My God.
Because if it is, I'm calling Cap.
Yeah.
You ain't really superstitious. You just a little stitious. Or You just straight up lying.
Mm-hmm.
That is Around the NFL here on In the Loop. Coming up next, the internet is going nuts. That's here on Sports Radio 610.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got the internet going nuts.
Internet going nuts here on In the Loop. John Lopez riding with me. I am Brandon Scott. Here with Figgy Fig and fellas. This, we saw this during this like mid segment. We came up with this. Some rapper that we don't know, but apparently these women know him very well, by the name of Zeddy, is hosting a baby shower. Get this, guys. Hosting a baby shower for his, count them, 5 girlfriends. All of whom apparently are pregnant at the same damn time. Young man.
Yeah.
What in the hell are you doing here?
Okay.
A baby shower for all 5 girlfriends. So this ain't even no, what's the religion? What am I trying to say?
Mormons?
He's not Mormon. Even. Yeah. But what's the thing that we call it? What do we call that? Where you can marry multiple women.
Oh, bigamy.
Yeah, this ain't even that.
Yeah.
This is just, Project Twins. Project, what is 5?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's doing that. And then a baby shower, like, it'd be one thing if this is just simply true.
Yeah.
But to go tell it to the world, and these women are pictured with old buddy.
Okay, that's the thing.
What are we doing, ladies?
So, not only do you have 5 women pregnant simultaneously, but you take this picture with them, all there.
Very pregnant, by the way.
And by the way, the 2 on the ends look like they might have gotten pregnant the same night. like they're the same size.
3 of them.
Like three of them.
The 2 on the ends bumps, and then the one with the gray that's next to the one on the end.
The bumps are all the same size.
Yeah. It's like,
and
slow down, buddy.
You convinced all 5 to take this picture with you as you're throwing or promoting a baby shower for all 5 of them at the same time, at the same place. First of all, I mean, what are these women thinking? Which, I guess, whatever. Why are you doing this with 5 women who clearly, I don't care, like 3 of them look ticked off in the picture. Like, okay, I'm doing it, but he's got to pay me. You know, that kind of thing. So this is one of the more bizarre things I've seen on the internet.
It is, dude, it's one thing again for this to be true, but we going to pose and tell the world, we going to pose for pictures and tell the world about this and invite people to this baby shower? Like, what happened? Do y'all remember, are y'all old enough to remember shame?
Shame?
Like having shame?
Oh.
What happened to it?
There is none there.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Like, this feels like one of them things where, like, even, okay, let's not judge, whatever.
Yeah.
I ain't going to put this out there, though, for you, you know, like, we got to have a little bit of shame here.
I'm transfixed by the picture.
Do you think, let me ask y'all, do you think once this, because I've heard of Project Twins, I've heard of a dude having, you know, babies by, you know, 2 different women around the same time, maybe even 3. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
5 is a stretch. Before you could even peacefully assemble here, before you can have this quorum that he's got.
Peacefully assemble.
Okay. Don't you have to get tested? Yeah. Like, what do you think of the odds are? Like, if I find out, just make yourself the woman here in this case. You find out you are one of five, all pregnant. Like, it's not just, hey, you've been messing around, or hey, you out there, you thotting and everything. You are endangering all of our lives.
And,
five?
And oh, by the way, I admittedly, this is not my realm, but who the hell is Zeddy anyway?
Hey, exactly.
You know who this cat is?
Hey, it's funny y'all said that, because I got a song for you guys. It's queued up right now.
All right. Oh, God.
We're gonna listen to it together.
Let's see if this dude, it sounds like anything worth five women having a baby for him at the same damn time.
Oh my God, that cha-cha joint. This is something new for y'all. Now, this ain't nothing new for me. You heard the beat before, but you ain't hear me rap on it.
I'm about to say that little song.
Look, here we go. Y'all don't like the dance? Come on, do the cha-cha. Shorty Spanish, sure she like to call me Papa. True fact, everything I do, they call it Flocka. All they do is copy me, I call them Flocka. She keep worried about my hoes, I had to block her. Had to kick off the list, I'm playing soccer. Why you acting Jamaican? You not even the roster. If you really a Jamaican, make the pasta. I'm just a everybody catch a vibe with. Stay out the way, cause I don't like to be in nonsense. You talking about me, then you worry about the wrong.
With this song?
If I put you in a song, it'll be a long diss. I'm thinking long
time. I'm already disgraced that he even sampled this classic right here, man. Rest in peace to DJ Casper.
And again, I'm no expert, but that seems awful to me.
No, it's okay.
Awful.
All right, so what's worse, that tune or being one of five women to get pregnant by this fool at the same damn time?
No, I
both.
Both.
Yes.
Both.
Yes. Both of them. B-O-F-F-U-M. Both of them.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was scrolling Twitter and went, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill say, damn, bro. Buddy Wilder.
Yeah.
Damn, bro, you wild.
Makes Tyreek Hill look shy, bashful, and responsible.
Yeah, like the Brady Bunch.
So apparently UCLA has a new coach. His name is Deshaun Foster. Used to play in the league. You let me know, based off of this audio, if this is someone that you are ready to run through a wall for, or that you would send your son to go play for based on this.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA.
A word. I know that.
Would have never guessed.
Us in USC. We,
do you know about the program?
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
Oh.
Any questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, man. I mean, yeah.
Yes, sir. Are you in the right place?
Hey, if that's what your excitement sounds like,
that
I don't want to know when you're bored.
Hey, that sound like me back in school when the teacher pulled me to the front of the class to do a report that I didn't do. So I'm sitting there like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a report. It's an assignment.
Like Edward,
it's from this class.
Edward, sit down. Edward, sit down.
It's 1:30. It's like, what? What are we doing?
This is how bad that was. I almost didn't put it on the dock because I was so embarrassed for him. Like, it's that bad. Like, we kid around on this show and we have fun with things like this. But I was actually like, I don't want to put this guy out there. It's so embarrassing. Like, he's already choked. I guarantee you, I'll tell you this. I think he's going to be a choking fool in games, in big moments.
I mean, if you're a UCLA fan, it's not like press conference performance necessarily translates into in-game and even the around the game, the recruiting part, like the coaching duties. It's not like those things are analogous necessarily. But you can't feel good about the dude that's leading your program.
No.
If that's how he sounds at Big Ten Media.
I don't think it's a stretch to say, at least in my memory, probably the worst introductory press conference of a head coach in history.
Oh, well, I mean,
it's not a stretch.
No, I mean, you remember Adam Gase.
No, this is the worst.
With the eyes.
This is the worst.
You remember my man Nick Sirianni.
No, this is worse.
Who, if you
the dude
are prepared,
couldn't talk.
You can do good things,
he
whatever he said.
Talk. Big pauses. UCLA.
Hey, that dead air was tough.
It's in L.A. Is that what he's going to say? Play it again.
We're in L.A.
Let's say you got a son that's being recruited across the country. And knock on the door, in-home visit, and this is what the head coach uses to try to recruit you.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC.
Come on, okay. Come on. We wear blue. Come on, we wear blue.
Bring up the other.
We're the
bring up the other school.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to USC. Yeah,
bring up the other school. Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar went there. Bill Walton. Like, come on. Give
that's
me something.
That's the worst I've ever heard.
Drew Holiday.
That's the worst in history.
UCLA. We're in L.A.
Yes. And you're trusting him to make a third, fourth down decision.
I hope he's better at that than he is at public speaking.
Just imagine fourth and one.
So many years.
Coach, what are we going to do, Coach? Come on, let's go. We in L.A.? Coach, we got 10 seconds.
Hey, look.
I'm just excited.
I'm just excited.
Basically, I'm just excited.
Even though you can't tell based off of how I'm talking because I can't put together.
Don't I sound excited?
Six-word sentences.
Oh, man.
I got to get to this before we get out of here on Internet Going Nuts.
Yeah.
How do y'all think the NBA should handle Karl Malone's legacy? Because this account, NBA History, which I'm not sure, I don't think is actually associated with the NBA. It's just a self-proclaimed NBA History account.
Mm-hmm.
But they shouted out Karl Malone's 61st birthday yesterday and got ratioed. And I also remember when Salt Lake City had the All-Star game, either last year or the year before, but very recently, there was an acknowledgement of Karl Malone, and it didn't go well on the internet. How should they handle this? Because it's very awkward. He's objectively and undeniably one of the all-time greats in NBA history.
Yeah,
but it is awkward knowing that he impregnated a child and that he's just kind of maybe possibly a bleepy guy. How should they handle this, man?
I feel like they handled it before because remember when they had an All-Star game in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
And they brung them on out there.
It didn't go well.
Some people was pissed.
That's what I'm saying.
It didn't go well.
Like, now that we have that information,
yeah.
Should they take it in stride?
Well, I think they just that account itself just gave you the answer. They've turned off comments. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
They've turned off the comments. So you handle it by just don't even acknowledging. And that's sad. One of the best there's ever been in a basketball sense, but in a real world sense.
It's awkward, man.
It's not good.
It is awkward because how do you celebrate? Because it makes basketball feel so small and meaningless. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, but you know what dude did? You know?
Yeah.
And what kind of, went even a little extra there. I mean, that is beyond what we as a society are willing to accept. So it's just, it is a weird thing, a complicated legacy, but maybe not so complicated, just a crappy one when you get down to it. All right, he's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig, holding it down on In the Loop. That was Internet Going Nuts. Coming up next, positions of strength, positions of weakness, more training camp takeaways on In the Loop Sports Radio 610.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Let's do this temperature check, man.
Yeah.
How are you feeling 6 days in or six practices in? A little bit over a week now, so it's over 6 days. But we've got six practices. We want to do a temperature check. What were you concerned about at the start of training camp that you are no longer concerned about, or at the very least concerns you less now than it did before? Let's start with you, Lopez. What for you is now less concerning than it was 8 days ago, six practices ago?
Yeah, it's weird because some of these I did not at all expect. Something that I was not concerned about, but I'm increasingly, I'll just put it that way, concerned about, is backup quarterback. And of course, you know, you're not going to count on a lot from a backup quarterback, but you're going to count on some. And I don't know what I'm getting out of Davis Mills. He has not looked real good. Maybe the coaches are seeing something that I don't, and they'll defend him, and they think they're onto something with him as a backup. I don't know how. Case Keenum, you trust him. But you trust him to a degree, to a point, and he's also a year older. And who knows with, you know, anybody else that they toss out there. But you got to have at least a reliable and short you know, spurts, backup quarterback.
And you know what, Lopez, with the backup quarterback situation, I would feel a lot better even with Davis Mills not looking great. Yeah. I feel like I know what he is. He is not a starting caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. I do think that he can like have a career as a backup. I don't think he's necessarily as terrible as we talk about him, the way we talk about him, but no confidence. Mm-hmm. Like the confidence level is zero.
Yeah.
And then it might have been a little bit more than that, and then it became zero once the team showed its lack of confidence in him. So what I'm saying is, based off of what happened last year when they needed to go to a backup quarterback, mm-hmm. and he wasn't the one that they went to, it ended up being Case Keenum, and this version of Case Keenum, with all due respect, it's not encouraging. So you're like, okay, you would like to think, okay, he's going to come back motivated and show you something, that like he's ready to actually be your second string, your backup quarterback. I don't really get that impression. I'm right there with you. I don't. He is a backup caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't have confidence in him as the backup.
Well, like just like there are tiers for starting quarterbacks, there's tiers for backup quarterbacks. Like a backup quarterback that you would really trust, you know, you could win a game if they just, you know, would play their game, whatever. And he's not in that tier. He's a legitimate backup quarterback, as you said, but he's not in the tier that this team needs to say, all right, we don't have CJ for the next two games. You got to win us a couple games, or at least one of them. He's not in that tier.
Yeah, I don't know what they do if something happens to CJ. Like, and it's basically all bets are off. And we talked about this yesterday. I brought up the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Deshaun Watson went down, well, fortunately for them, they were able to find an adequate backup, and it wasn't all bets are off. So, like that doesn't have to be the sentence that you say.
Yeah.
The quarterback goes down, my season is over with. Well, yeah, we get that. The starter is the starter for a reason. We understand C.J. Stroud already is in rarefied air within the context of the NFL right now. There's five, six, maybe seven quarterbacks that you would take, that you might even have this conversation about, like that you would replace him with, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, if he goes down, it's going to be a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But how significant of a downgrade is it going to be? Similar to the conversation we have at these other positions.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. A position that I was concerned about, and I think I said it several times, or at least, you know, we talked about it. You know, coming into the year, I'm like, boy, they've done a lot in this offseason. They've done a great job. Sure would like to see some more help at linebacker. Didn't have a lot of confidence in linebacker. I was concerned after being out there for six practices. I'm not as concerned. I think part of it is we have to assume, and I think it's a safe assumption, that Christian Harris is going to be fine, and he's going to be out there, and he's going to take another step. Probably an all-pro type player. Was it Andy Kalu that said he might be all-pro?
Yeah, he said that.
I trust Andy on that.
Andy Kalu said he thinks he might have what it takes to be an all-pro. So there's one linebacker. Azeez Al-Shaair is the other linebacker. Had 162 tackles last year, if I'm remembering that right, for Tennessee. He had definitely 150, 160. And is looking like a monster right now. I mean, as much as you can, you know, in training camp. But certainly fits the role, fits the part with D'Amico. Tried to get here last year, got here this year. Their starting two linebackers are, at minimum, guys that you could maybe expect to be Pro Bowlers. Well, you got two Pro Bowl starting linebackers. That's impressive. And, okay, well, who's the backups? Which was one of my concerns. They're thin there. Neville Hewitt just keeps on keeping on, man. He's just a little engine that could. He was running with the second team yesterday, you know, doing his job, running with the second team and a little bit with the first team. Maybe it was just kind of a rotational thing. Was Jake Hansen, like he might be the pixie dust guy, not to the extreme of Blake Cashman last year, but that finds another level under D'Amico Ryan. So I'm not quite as concerned about linebacker as I was.
You like what you've seen from Neville Hewitt. I know John Harris, from reading his Harris hits and chatting with him a little bit, I know he likes what he's seen from Jake Hansen. But, man, I got a tough time knowing that these guys have been around and that they are, especially Neville Hewitt. Like, because I don't want this to sound disrespectful. He is a special teams bad ass. Yeah. Like, that dude can play on my football team any day. But as linebacker depth, I am not sure that it is there. I am concerned about it. And look, I understand Christian Harris has what we will classify for now as a minor soft tissue injury that's kept him out of training camp so far. But I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on, and I like what Indy Kalu was saying, and I trust his eye and his opinion on these sorts of things, so I'm not questioning that. Mm-hmm. But I am pumping the brakes on just this idea that you've got all pros or pro bowlers at that position. They have not been that yet, and until I see them out there together and what it actually looks like, I'm not necessarily prepared to put them at that level, even though I am bullish on those two specifically. But the fact that it's just those two,
yeah,
and don't let one of them be hurt like one of them is now. Like, yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Let's go 8-9 weeks from now. Pick your week.
Hey, linebackers get hurt.
Linebackers get hurt.
Yeah.
Middle linebackers
get hurt
certainly
more.
Get hurt. Something. And Azeez Al-Shaair wears that damn J.J. Watt thing on his arm. Yeah. Like that big old, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Say that guy gets hurt, okay? And he's the leader of immediately unquestioned leader of the defense, like on site as soon as he got here.
Yeah.
Say that guy's hurt. Christian Harris is out there. Okay, great. How you feel about Henry Toa now as your Mike linebacker?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're...
Now, that one I didn't mention.
And I'm saying, though, because I think he is the backup specifically at middle linebacker.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden now your top two guys are the the Alabama guys. One of them you feel good about and one of them you got some serious questions about in Toa Toa.
Yeah.
So, and I'm hoping he has a bounce back year. I don't know if bounce back is the right term because he was a rookie, but I hope he has a type of year where we're talking about him the way that they were talking about him going into the year before we actually saw him play, which, you know, left a lot to be desired. I cannot say that I've got a lot of confidence in it.
Yeah.
So, I got some serious questions there, Lopez.
What about you? Anybody else? Anywhere else where you were concerned and now you're not so much, or you weren't concerned and now you are a little bit?
I was very concerned about the defensive tackle situation, mm-hmm. and maybe less so after having talked to Seth about it a little bit. Like, yeah. He and I chopped it up, I guess, a couple of weeks ahead of training camp, and obviously Seth played the position for the Texans specifically a long time ago, but did so anyway. And he had me kind of talking me off the ledge a little bit, but I'd be lying if I said I went into camp feeling like it was a position of strength mm-hmm. or something that I just could definitively tell you or sell you on, like tell you, hey, this is going to be good for them and I'm gonna sell you on this. Mm-hmm. Today, as we sit here, I feel like I can sell you on an inside pairing of Denico Autry and Mario Edwards on passing downs with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson out on the edge.
I am with you.
Like, I feel like I can sell you on that today after watching some training camp practices, much more so than I could have sold it to you, say, a week ago or 8 days ago. So that's got to be the thing I feel a lot.
4 days ago.
Yeah, 4 days ago. Tim Settle is somebody who I haven't necessarily seen a lot of, but when you see him in person, you're like, hey, if you put him out there on a rundown, almost cussed. He'll just running around his ass is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's just
he's a planet.
A wide body. Yeah. Yes. He is a planet, a system, a solar system. My goodness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel a lot better about it. And of course, Nick Caserio spoke on it a little bit when we first talked to him first day at camp or first day with us out there at camp last week. And he said, you know, I think we've got a little bit more depth at that position than maybe we initially thought. Mm-hmm. We'll let it play out in training camp. I like to hear him say that. And I like what I've seen so far with how it's actually played out at training camp. That's the position.
Yeah. And then another one, it's really more intrigue than doubt. But I did have a lot of confidence in tight ends coming into camp. We, you know, the little hints and glimpses that we got at Cade Stover, little hints and glimpses we got last year from Brevin Jordan. Little confidence in Tegan Quatoriano, who it seemed made a play whenever he could get on the field last year. I was pretty confident with tight ends. I'm still very confident with Dalton Schultz, but you're seeing sort of a cast of characters step up behind Dalton Schultz. So I'm still a little bit you got to keep an eye on the tight ends in terms of how much confidence you're going to have in them this year, because you need at least two, probably three, to be significant contributors.
What we were concerned about going into camp that no longer concerns us, or at the very least concerns us a lot less. Let's bring in the fellas from The Drive, because The Drive is about to be live from B-Dubs Buffalo Wild Wings out there by Willowbrook Mall, Tomball Parkway. Am I not mistaken, fellas?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Under the on the other side of the bridge of the mall. Come on out. Hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Got some, you know, got some gear to give away. So come on out and have a good time as The Drive is we're getting ready. This is the time where we are road warriors, and it's about to start these Thursdays and Fridays. There we go. It's about that time.
It is about that
time. It is about that time. I'm excited about it. I'm definitely going to come out there and chop it up with y'all. Maybe one that's a little bit closer, and if I'm, you know, not doing the show. But, hey, look, we're going to do this thing. Thirsty Thursdays is exciting. Y'all make sure y'all get out there, support these guys. And it's always a good time when we're out on remotes interacting with the people. So I know y'all going to have fun today. I'm looking forward to y'all's show. But let me throw this question to y'all that we're asking right now on the show. Is there a thing, basically, and y'all been out there as much as we have, is there a thing from Texans training camp practices so far that has quelled a concern? Something that you were concerned about going into Texans training camp that you are either no longer concerned about at all, or at the very least, a lot less concerned about than you were, say, 8 days ago based off of our training camp practices so far? Anything like that?
I got a list for you. How about that?
Oh, right, we got to turn Clint up. Apparently, yeah, we got
a list.
Clint's got a list. You know, I like me a good list. Turn Clint up. Turn his mic up.
List. What did you look at the rundown of the show?
No. I just.
The hell are you ready for that?
Look, I just did a little six camp recap on my text line that I got rolling on, man. I mean, here's the deal. We haven't seen enough from that interior defensive line to feel better or worse. Linebacker depth, I think, with Christian Harris being out is a major, major concern. Not that we've seen anything negative, but with him out, you see them rotating different guys through there, and it could be a problem. The fact that I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. I know, B. Scott, you disagree, but I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. Opposite Derek Stingley, that six practices in, I'd like to feel a little better about the guy that they're running with the ones, to be completely honest with you. Not that we've seen anything super negative, but I would like to have seen some flashes at some point in time. So you know, those are, I think, on the defense side of the ball, those would be my negative, like, jury's still out, hadn't seen enough, or don't feel better about it.
Hey, I can respect it, man. What about you, Ron? I can appreciate it because it is a little bit different from how I'm looking at it. But, hey, Clint's got the eye. I appreciate
Damn,
it.
Damn, man.
That's pressure.
He had a whole list. Now, if I'm going to go by the terminology you're using of concern and feel better about it, I think it would have to be, and we talked about it yesterday, that area where I think most likely could derail this thing, and that's the center guard combination. I think that is the spot where you're like, oh, you know, what does that look like? And Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green, to me at the very least, have come to a spot 6 days in of, you know what, I think they will at least be serviceable, at the very least, at the floor serviceable, and then there is a chance that they can grow to be better. And I didn't know that they would be to this point 6 days into it. Really watching them close yesterday. That was a good thing.
What do you know, boys? I threw three negatives at you, and oh, worrywart Ron. He had a good positive for you. Who would have thought?
How about that? You just egged this stuff on. I don't. I just give you the honest thought of things. Well, that may turn here in about 5 minutes.
Hey, contrary to popular belief, I like the way that y'all keep them guessing. I don't think that you can peg either one of y'all as just negative or just positive. That's what The Drive does. The Drive keep you on your toes. The Drive keep you guessing. And that's why I respect it. That's why I'm a fan of the show.
I don't like the term negative, be honest with you. I just think honesty.
Well, that's negative. Right? Well, that's fine.
Only I mean, now when J-Lo gets on his tangents about the Astrodome, now that is negative.
No, it's not.
That thing needs to go, and that is the facts.
You need to have me as a guest.
Hey, positive, negative, neutral, whatever you want to call it, you are listening to KILT.
Call the hotline.
KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And I can tell you this, The Drive is live.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Let's do this temperature check, man.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? 6 days in, or six practices in, a little bit over a week now, so it's over 6 days. But we've got six practices. We want to do a temperature check. What were you concerned about at the start of training camp that you are no longer concerned about, or at the very least concerns you less now than it did before? Let's start with you, Lopez. What for you is now less concerning than it was 8 days ago, six practices ago?
Yeah, it's weird because some of these I did not at all expect. Something that I was not concerned about, but I'm increasingly, I'll just put it that way, concerned about, is backup quarterback. And of course, you know, you're not going to count on a lot from a backup quarterback, but you're going to count on some. And I don't know what I'm getting out of Davis Mills. He has not looked real good. Maybe the coaches are seeing something that I don't, and they'll defend him, and they think they're onto something with him as a backup. I don't know how. Case Keenum, you trust him. But you trust him to a degree, to a point, and he's also a year older. And who knows with, you know, anybody else that they toss out there. You got to have at least a reliable and short, you know, spurts backup quarterback.
And you know what, Lopez, with the backup quarterback situation, I would feel a lot better even with Davis Mills not looking great. Yeah. I feel like I know what he is. He is not a starting caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. I do think that he can, like, have a career as a backup. I don't think he's necessarily as terrible as we talk about him, the way we talk about him, but no confidence. Like, the confidence level is zero.
Yeah.
And then it might have been a little bit more than that, and then it became zero once the team showed its lack of confidence in him. So what I'm saying is, based off of what happened last year when they needed to go to a backup quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't the one that they went to, it ended up being Case Keenum, and this version of Case Keenum, with all due respect, it's not encouraging. So you're like, okay, you would like to think, okay, he's going to come back motivated and show you something, that like he's ready to actually be your second string, your backup quarterback. I don't really get that impression. I'm right there with you. I don't. He is a backup. He is a backup caliber quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have confidence in him as the backup.
Well, like just like there are tiers for starting quarterbacks, there's tiers for backup quarterbacks. Like a backup quarterback that you would really trust, you know, you could win a game if they just, you know, would play their game, whatever. And he's not in that tier. He's a legitimate backup quarterback, as you said, but he's not in the tier that this team needs to say, all right, we don't have CJ for the next two games. You got to win us a couple games, or at least one of them. He's not in that tier.
Yeah, I don't know what they do if something happens to CJ. Like, it's basically all bets are off. And we talked about this yesterday. I brought up the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Deshaun Watson went down, Well, fortunately for them, they were able to find an adequate backup, and it wasn't all bets are off. So, like, that doesn't have to be the sentence that you say.
Yeah.
The quarterback goes down, my season is over with. Well, yeah, we get that. The starter is the starter for a reason. We understand C.J. Stroud already is in rarefied air within the context of the NFL right now. There's five, six, maybe seven quarterbacks that you would take, that you might even have this conversation about, like that you would replace him with, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, if he goes down, it's going to be a downgrade. Mm-hmm. But how significant of a downgrade is it going to be? Similar to the conversation we have at these other positions.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. A position that I was concerned about, and I think I said it several times, or at least, you know, we talked about it. You know, coming into the year, I'm like, boy, they've done a lot in this offseason. They've done a great job. Sure would like to see some more help at linebacker. Didn't have a lot of confidence in linebacker. I was concerned after being out there for six practices. I'm not as concerned. I think part of it is we have to assume, and I think it's a safe assumption, that Christian Harris is going to be fine, and he's going to be out there, and he's going to take another step. Probably an all-pro type player. Was it Andy Kalu that said he might be all-pro?
Yeah, he said that.
Andy, I
trust Andy on that.
Andy Kalu said he thinks he might have what it takes to be an all-pro. So there's one linebacker. Azeez Al-Shaair is the other linebacker. Had 162 tackles last year, if I'm remembering that right, for Tennessee. He had definitely 150, 160. And is looking like a monster right now. I mean, as much as you can, you know, in training camp. But certainly fits the role, fits the part with D'Amico. Tried to get here last year, got here this year. Their starting two linebackers are, at minimum, guys that you could maybe expect to be Pro Bowlers. Well, you got two Pro Bowl starting linebackers. That's impressive. And, okay, well, who's the backups? Which was one of my concerns. They're thin there. Neville Hewitt just keeps on keeping on, man. He's just a little engine that could. He was running with the second team yesterday, you know, doing his job, running with the second team and a little bit with the first team. Maybe it was just kind of a rotational thing. Was Jake Hansen, like, he might be the pixie dust guy, not to the extreme of Blake Cashman last year, but that finds another level under D'Amico Ryan. So I'm not quite as concerned about linebackers as I was.
You like what you've seen from Neville Hewitt. I know John Harris from reading his Harris hits and chatting with him a little bit. I know he likes what he's seen from Jake Hansen. But, man, I got a tough time knowing that these guys have been around and that they are, especially Neville Hewitt. Like, because I don't want this to sound disrespectful. He is a special teams bad ass. Yeah. Like, that dude can play on my football team any day. But as linebacker depth, I am not sure that it is there. I am concerned about it. And look, I understand Christian Harris has what we will classify for now as a minor soft tissue injury that's kept him out of training camp so far. But I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on. And I like what Andy Kalu is saying, and I trust his eye and his opinion on these sorts of things. So I'm not questioning that. Mm-hmm. But I am pumping the brakes on just this idea that you've got all pros or Pro Bowlers at that position. They have not been that yet, and until I see them out there together and what it actually looks like, I'm not necessarily prepared to put them at that level, even though I am bullish on those two specifically. But the fact that it's just those two, and don't let one of them be hurt like one of them is now, think about it.
Yeah.
Let's go 8-9 weeks from now. Pick your week.
Hey, linebackers get hurt.
Linebackers get hurt.
Yeah.
Middle linebackers
get hurt
certainly
more.
Get hurt. Something. And Azeez Al-Shaair wears that damn J.J. Watt thing on his arm. Yeah. Like that big old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say that guy gets hurt, okay? Then he's the leader of immediately unquestioned leader of the defense, like on site as soon as he got here.
Yeah.
Say that guy's hurt. Christian Harris is out there. Okay, great. How you feel about Henry Toa now as your Mike linebacker?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're...
Now, that one I didn't mention.
And then I'm saying, though, because I think he is the backup specifically at middle linebacker.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden now your top two guys are the Alabama guys. One of them you feel good about and one of them you got some serious questions about in Toa.
Yeah.
So, and I'm hoping he has a bounce back year. I don't know if bounce back is the right term because he was a rookie, but I hope he has... a type of year where we're talking about him the way that they were talking about him going into the year before we actually saw him play, which, you know, left a lot to be desired. I cannot say that I've got a lot of confidence in it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I got some serious questions there, Lopez.
What about you? Anybody else? Anywhere else where you were concerned and now you're not so much, or you weren't concerned and now you are a little bit?
I was very concerned about the defensive tackle situation, mm-hmm. and maybe less so after having talked to Seth about it a little bit. He and I chopped it up, I guess, a couple of weeks ahead of training camp, and obviously Seth played the position for the Texans specifically a long time ago, but did so anyway. And he had me kind of talk me off the ledge a little bit, but I'd be lying if I said I went into camp feeling like it was a position of strength or something that I just could definitively tell you or sell you on, tell you, hey, this is going to be good for them, and I'm going to sell you on this. Mm-hmm. Today, as we sit here, I feel like I can sell you on an inside pairing of Danico Autry and Mario Edwards on passing downs with Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson out on the edge.
I am with you.
I feel like I can sell you on that today after watching some training camp practices, much more so than I could have sold it to you, say, a week ago or 8 days ago. So that's got to be the thing I feel a lot.
4 days ago.
Yeah, 4 days ago. Tim Settle is somebody who I haven't necessarily seen a lot of, but when you see him in person, you're like, hey, if you put him out there on a rundown, almost cuss, he'll just running around his ass is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just
he's a planet.
A wide body. Yeah. Yes. He is a planet, a system, a solar system. My goodness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel a lot better about it. And, of course, Nick Caserio spoke on it a little bit when we first talked to him first day at camp or first day with us out there at camp last week. And he said, you know, I think we've got a little bit more depth at that position than maybe we initially thought. Mm-hmm. We'll let it play out in training camp. I like to hear him say that. And I like what I've seen so far with how it's actually played out at training camp. That's the position.
Yeah. And then another one, it's really more intrigue than doubt. But I did have a lot of confidence in tight ends coming into camp. We, you know, the little hints and glimpses that we got at Cade Stover, little hints and glimpses we got last year from Brevin Jordan. Little confidence in Tegan Quatoriano, who it seemed made a play whenever he could get on the field last year. I was pretty confident with tight ends. I'm still very confident with Dalton Schultz, but you're seeing sort of a cast of characters step up behind Dalton Schultz. So I'm still a little bit, you got to keep an eye on the tight ends in terms of how much confidence you're going to have in them this year, because you need at least two, probably three, to be significant contributors.
What we were concerned about going into camp that no longer concerns us, or at the very least concerns us a lot less. Let's bring in the fellas from The Drive, because The Drive is about to be live from B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, out there by Willowbrook Mall, Tomball Parkway. Am I not mistaken, fellas?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Under the on the other side of the bridge of the mall. Come on out. Hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Got some gear to give away, so come on out and have a good time as The Drive is we're getting ready. This is the time where we are road warriors, and it's about to start these Thursdays and Fridays. There we go. It's about that time.
It is about that
time. It is about that time. I'm excited about it. I'm definitely going to come out there and chop it up with y'all. Maybe one that's a little bit closer, and if I'm, you know, not doing the show. But, hey, we're going to do this thing. Thirsty Thursdays is exciting. Y'all make sure y'all get out there, support these guys. And it's always a good time when we're out on remotes interacting with the people. So I know y'all going to have fun today. I'm looking forward to y'all's show. But let me throw this question to y'all that we're asking right now on the show. Is there a thing, basically, and y'all been out there as much as we have, is there a thing from Texans training camp practices so far that has quelled a concern, something that you were concerned about going into Texans training camp that you are either no longer concerned about at all, or at the very least a lot less concerned about than you were, say, 8 days ago based off of our training camp practices so far? Anything like that?
I got a list for you. How about that?
Oh, we got to turn Clint up. Apparently, we got a
list.
Clint's got a list. You know, I like me a good list. Turn Clint up. Turn his mic up.
List. What did you look at the rundown of the show?
No. I just.
The hell, are you ready for that?
Look, I just did a little six camp recap on my text line that I got rolling on, man. I I mean, here's the deal. We haven't seen enough from that interior defensive line to feel better or worse. Linebacker depth, I think, with Christian Harris being out is a major, major concern. Not that we've seen anything negative, but with him out, you see them rotating different guys through there, and it could be a problem. The fact that I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. I know, B. Scott, you disagree, but I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. Opposite Derek Stingley, that six practices in, I'd like to feel a little better about the guy that they're running with the ones, to be completely honest with you. Not that we've seen anything super negative, but I would like to have seen some flashes at some point in time. So you know, those are, I think, on the defense side of the ball, those would be my negative, like, jury's still out, hadn't seen enough, or don't feel better about it.
Hey, I can respect it, man. What about you, Ron? I can appreciate it because it is a little bit different from how I'm looking at it. But, hey, Clint's got the eye. I appreciate
Damn,
it.
Damn, man.
That's pressure.
He had an old list. Now, if I'm going to go by the terminology you're using of concern and feel better about it, I think it would have to be, and we talked about it yesterday, that area where I think most likely could derail this thing, and that's the center guard combination. I think that is the spot where you're like, oh, you know, what does that look like? And Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green, to me, at the very least, have come to a spot 6 days in of, you know what, I think they will at least be serviceable, at the very least, at the floor serviceable, and then there is a chance that they can grow to be better. And I didn't know that they would be to this point 6 days into it. Really watching them close yesterday, that was a good thing.
What do you know, boys? I threw three negatives at you, and oh, worrywart Ron, he had a good positive for you. Who would have thought?
You bet on that? You just egged this stuff on. I don't. I just give you the honest thought of things. Well, that may turn here in about 5 minutes.
Hey, contrary to popular belief, I like the way that y'all keep them guessing. I don't think that you can peg either one of y'all as just negative or just positive. That's what the drive does. The drive keep you on your toes. The drive keep you guessing. And that's why I respect it. That's why I'm a fan of the show.
I don't like the term negative, be honest with you. I just think honesty.
Well, that's negative. Right? Well, that's fine.
When J-Lo gets on his tangents about the Astrodome, now that is negative.
Oh, wow. Right, no, it's not. Whoa, that thing needs to go, and that is the facts.
You need to have me as a guest.
Hey, positive, negative, neutral, whatever you want to call it, are listening to KILT.
Call the hotline.
KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And I can tell you this, the drive is live.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What we were concerned about going into camp that no longer concerns us, or at the very least concerns us a lot less. Let's bring in the fellas from The Drive, because The Drive is about to be live from B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, out there by Willowbrook Mall, Tomball Parkway. Am I not mistaken, fellas?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Under the on the other side of the bridge of the mall. Come on out. Hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Got some, you know, got some gear to give away. So come on out and have a good time as the drive is. We're getting ready. This is the time where we are road warriors, and it's about to start these Thursdays and Fridays. There we go. It's about that time.
It is about that time.
I'm excited about it. I'm definitely going to come out there and chop it up with y'all. Maybe one that's a little bit closer, and if I'm, you know, not doing the show. But, hey, look, we're going to do this thing. Thirsty Thursdays is exciting. Y'all make sure y'all get out there, support these guys. And it's always a good time when we're out on remotes interacting with the people. So I know y'all going to have fun today. I'm looking forward to y'all's show. But let me throw this question to y'all that we're asking right now on the show. Is there a thing, basically, and y'all been out there as much as we have, is there a thing from Texans training camp practices so far that has quelled a concern? Something that you were concerned about going into Texans training camp that you are either no longer concerned about at all, or at the very least, a lot less concerned about than you were, say, 8 days ago based off of our training camp practices so far? Anything like that?
I got a list for you. How about that?
Oh, we got to turn Clint up. Apparently, we got a list. Clint's got a list. You know, I like me a good list. Turn Clint up. Turn his mic up.
List. What did you look at the rundown of the show?
No. I just.
The hell are you ready for that?
Look, I just did a little six camp recap on my text line that I got rolling on, man. I mean, here's the deal. We haven't seen enough from that interior defensive line to feel better or worse. Linebacker depth, I think, with Christian Harris being out, is a major, major concern. Not that we've seen anything negative, but with him out, you see them rotating different guys through there, and it could be a problem. The fact that I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. I know, B. Scott, you disagree, but I don't think we're any closer to figuring out who cornerback two is. Opposite Derek Stingley, that six practices in, I'd like to feel a little better about the guy that they're running with the ones, to be completely honest with you. Not that we've seen anything super negative, but I would like to have seen some flashes at some point in time. So you know, those are, I think, on the defense side of the ball, those would be my negative, like, jury's still out, hadn't seen enough, or don't feel better about it.
Hey, I can respect it, man. What about you, Ron? I can appreciate it because it is a little bit different from how I'm looking at it. But, hey, Clint's got the eye. I appreciate
it. Damn, man.
That's pressure.
He had an old list. Now, if I'm going to go by the terminology you're using of concern and feel better about it, I think it would have to be, and we talked about it yesterday, that area where I think most likely could derail this thing, and that's the center guard combination. I think that is the spot where you're like, oh, you know, what does that look like? And Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green, to me at the very least, have come to a spot 6 days in of, you know what, I think they will at least be serviceable, at the very least, at the floor serviceable, and then there is a chance that they can grow to be better. And I didn't know that they would be to this point 6 days into it. Really watching them close yesterday. That was a good thing.
What do you know, boys? I threw three negatives at you, and oh, worrywart Ron. He had a good positive for you. Who would have thought?
How about that? You just egged this stuff on. I don't. I just give you the honest thought of things. Well, that may turn here in about 5 minutes.
Hey. Contrary to popular belief, I like the way that y'all keep them guessing. I don't think that you can peg either one of y'all as just negative or just positive. That's what the drive does. The drive keep you on your toes. The drive keep you guessing. And that's why I respect it. That's why I'm a fan of the show.
I don't like the term negative. Be honest with you. I just think honesty.
Well, that's negative. Right? Well, that's fine.
Now, when J-Lo gets on his tangents about the Astrodome, now that is negative.
Oh, wow. No, it's not. Whoa. That thing needs to go, and that is the facts.
You need to have me as a guest.
Hey, positive, negative, neutral, whatever you want to call it, you are listening to KILT.
Call the hotline.
KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And I can tell you this, the drive is live.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.